Galatians chapter 2 for our message. Galatians 2. Sunday we preached on the four names of Christ in the book of Revelation chapter 19, and we also taught in the morning of Christ being the prophet, the priest, and the king. He was born and came into the world and was known in Luke 7 as a prophet, and then he went to the cross, and there he became our priest and the sacrifice of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This ushered in the legal authority for us to be born of the Spirit, to be born of God. To as many as received him, to them gave him, to them he gave the authority, the power to become the children of God. Christ was born in us when we believed, and this was done on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ as a priest. And then, being buried in the tomb, and 3 days later being raised, and then 40 days later ascending in the presence of the disciples. Though he went there, we believe that he went, he ascended to the Father, came back for 40 days, ascended in a visible way so that the disciples could see that, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Most High as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are on the earth and carry in us him. He dwells in us, the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher, presence of God. The person of God that dwells in us is the Holy Spirit. We can grieve him, we can quench him, but we can also be filled with him. He fills us, and the Spirit produces in our hearts love, something new. The nature of God is in us. We are partakers of his divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. And we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Many of us have lived this way, and we experience this and realize what it is. It is Christ in us. When we fellowship with each other, like tonight, we have the witness of the Spirit bearing witness to us that God is in our midst. Luke 17, verse 22, the kingdom of God is here between us. Many times when we come to the church and we have this fellowship, we realize that I would like this to be home. I want to bring it home. I want to have the love that is in my heart with you also in my home. I mean, sometimes we need a lot of patience at home, a lot of kindness, a spirit of worship in our home. And we anticipate that because this is our new nature and the fellowship of the kingdom of God that is on the earth. Though we are born of God and we have this new nature dwelling in us, we also have a sin nature that is connected to our mortal body. We could say maybe we could say it is in our DNA, but it's connected to our mortal body in Romans chapter 7. That is why when we die, we leave our body and for the first time we'll be without our sin nature and we fly away in Psalm 90. In verse 10, We'll be in the presence of God and the angels and the spirits of just men made perfect in Hebrews 12. We'll be in the city that God has built. We'll be a witness of God himself. We'll see him. We'll be out of our body and present with the Lord. And we anticipate this because the prophets spoke about it. In the book of Isaiah, we read a lot about it. We read about it in the coming kingdom and Zechariah. We read about it in Amos and Micah. We recognize it in the Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 68, 69. We also read about the sin nature of man, Luke chapter 6. It's a very interesting chapter. We'll look at that maybe a little bit later tonight. Okay, so first, who am I? Who am I? You know, in the world of psychology, there's a lot of talk about us, a lot of study and a lot of analysis about people. They have labels for temperaments, melancholic, choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic. They have different tests that they give people to analyze who they are, what their strong points and weak, what their weak points are. But I would like to go to higher ground and ask this question. Could you ever analyze Jesus Christ and his personality? If Jesus Christ came into a room and he sat down and he was quiet, you could say he's phlegmatic. When he turned over a table in anger, you could say what he's sanguine. And the different ways that you could analyze him. But in fact, I contest that. You cannot analyze God. You cannot put him in a box. You cannot tell me what kind of personality Jesus Christ had, because he was God incarnate. He was who God wanted him to be every moment, and he was manifesting God in those moments, sometimes quiet, sometimes angry, sometimes teaching, sometimes not even present. He disappeared. He went to prayer. Sometimes he was in your face, sometimes he would ignore you. What kind of person was he? But he was God incarnate. Now comes the second point. What about you? Who are you? It's a good question. I would rather to believe that Christ is in you and I could not analyze you. Because on one level, man is very interested in knowing each other and knowing himself based on what the scripture calls the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, know no man after the flesh. What's his temperament like? I don't know, and I don't really care, because I don't know him after the flesh. I don't be so naive. Really? Well, I'm supposed to know you on the basis of Galatians 2 and verse 20. I believe that. Look at chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. I just like that to soak in, because I can't believe it, to be honest. Of course, I was not crucified with him. Yes, I was. Well, that's a nice saying, but is that true? The Bible says, I am crucified with him. Well, I don't believe that. I was. Here's a good point between faith and what the Bible says and my experience, my analysis, my examination of myself, the reality. I'm alive. I'm not crucified with Christ, but I am. crucified with Christ. And yet I live. I live. But who is living? Not I. Look at verse 20, please. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Not I. Not I. The word is ego in the Greek language. Not I. I am alive. I am crucified. But I live. Yet not I. What do you mean? Not I. When I was in Hungary, Pastor Brian shared with me a message from Pastor Csaba. And I didn't hear it in person, but he said the word sinner is in the New Testament not used for the saints. Only when Paul was unsaved, he called himself the chiefest of sinners. That means that he refers to himself as a sinner. I am a sinner. When I was unsaved, I'm a sinner. And when I'm saved, I am still a sinner. But my identity is, if I do what I would not do, it is not I that do it, but it is sin that dwells in me. But it's not I. Well, who are you? I am crucified, but I live. But it's not I. It's me. I am in Christ. Well, are you sanguine in your personality type? It's hard for you to put me in a box because for me to live is Christ. Can you analyze Christ? Can you analyze God? Can you put God in a box? Careful, because when God shows up, you don't know what's going to happen. God is going to be outside of the spectrum of human personality by the fall, and he's going to be in the realm of the manifestation of God, who is Christ in the flesh. Wow. You don't know what you're going to get except the Spirit of God manifesting the reality of a living God who is very wise, very humble, very meek, very aggressive, very quiet, very loud. The shout of a king is amongst us in Numbers 23, verse 20, or 21. The shout of a king is amongst these people, the Jews that came out of Egypt. It's good. Why am I saying this? Because I have stumbled across this through the history of my ministry for more than 40 years. That are people that are gravitate to the human personality. They gravitate to the human viewpoint. They gravitate to the natural man. They gravitate to life as we can see it and understand it. But I've also seen and I've witnessed and I've discerned the Spirit of God speaking on the basis of the finished work. I have something extraordinary that I died and now I live and it's not me. Try to find me. Try to find me. Hide and seek God's way. You cannot analyze the Spirit of God and the ways of God and the mind of God. You cannot figure him out. He is above and beyond the human personality, for he has no sin. He is God in the flesh. That's the way to think. And when I see you, I mean, I've known Pastor Shibali for decades, but in a way I don't know him. And I like it like that. I don't want to know anything about him except Christ in him. How about it? I don't sit around analyzing. I don't sit around thinking about it. Or any of us. Same with Dr. Stevens. I didn't care about knowing him after the flesh. I like to know him in the Spirit of God. The same in the church. In Hungary. In Budapest. Where we lived for a long time. And people didn't know us, and we didn't know them. But we gathered together often, and we got to know Jesus Christ in our presence. And it's the same you know, in life everywhere, it's like the Spirit of God wants to teach us something about who we really are. What do you think? Let's look at the verse again. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. No, you cannot. You cannot really believe that except by the Spirit of God. Nevertheless, I live, but for me to live is Christ. Oh, come on, Pastor Shalit, come on. For you to live is Christ, for me to live. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? Do you see it? Can you believe it? That for me to live is Christ. This is amazing. Could I have my iPad, please? And we'll go in a minute. Go, everybody watch Pastor Steve bring it up here. That's fine. I mean, Jesus came to be our prophet, our priest, and our king. And sisters and brothers, listen, it's got to mean something now. What good is it? I mean, that's beautiful that later we go to heaven, but I would like for it to have the reality of an effect in my life now. I'd like to be alive unto God now. I would like to be a king and a priest now and a prophet now. I would like to have words that are in season now. I'd like to have the message of salvation for a young person, somebody in this world that is looking now. I'd like to have a message of Christ in my heart now. I'd like to have my Christmas season in the presence of God, and I would like to have it, you know how it is the day after, you got all the Christmas trimmings and everything, and then there's the sales, and there's the cleanup, and there's the dishes, you got to clean everything, and it's all over, and you think about, like, what it means to be in the kingdom of God after Christmas. What it means to be in the kingdom of God in the month of January, in our new year, 2000, which one is it? 20. I didn't want to make a mistake. 2020. What a big number that is. I like to have the kingdom of God in my heart and in my life. Look at verse 20, please. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Where did you go? I got out of here. I got out. I disappeared. I got out. I was buried in the tomb and left there. I was gone. I got out. I got out of this world. I was crucified with him. But now I live, but not I. Do you feel the power and the authority of Christ in your everyday life? Do you feel it in your quietness and in your prayer and your trust? Do you feel it in your life over a long period of time? Can you connect the dots? I like that idea. I once lived in Lenox. Now I live in Baltimore, and I can definitely connect the dots between that, my life then, with what God has done in my life now. I feel that way in life, that I have no idea, and I'm not saying it in any way to compare, but only to get to this point that the kingdom of God is here amongst us. It has an effect, and sometimes we don't connect the dots. We'll see, look at that in a minute. Finish this verse. I'm trying to finish it. Verse 20. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I don't even get credit for the faith I have. I don't even get credit for that. I don't even get credit for the faith that I have tonight. I don't get credit for it. It's not me. It's Christ in you. And you live by the faith of the Son of God. But you live by the love of the Son of God. You live by the mind of the Son of God who loved you and died for you. Verse 20. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, boy, that's beautiful. What do you think? When I was in Europe one time many years ago, somebody offered me a test to take to find out about my personality. I said, no, thanks, it's okay. I am not so interested. I know who I am in my flesh, basically, I think so. More or less, I've lived with myself a long time. And I don't care about who I am in the flesh. I'm here to find the Lord. I want to find the Lord. I want to find the Lord. I don't care about that. You can analyze me upside, one down, the up one side, down the other, all through and everything. What do I got at the end? I am who I am. I know who I am in my flesh, and it is a great disappointment at different times. There's a strength and there's a weakness. But the life of faith is a life. Here's the word. Keep it. Think about it. It's the life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He's like a dove, gentle. He's the Holy Spirit. He's a fire. He's the Holy Spirit. He's called oil. He is the Holy Spirit, water in parched ground, parched dry ground. He is the Holy Spirit that my personal life, I soak it up like water is poured out in the ground, just pulling in. I need the Holy Spirit as my teacher. I need the Holy Spirit to speak to me. I need the Holy Spirit to give me release and joy and purpose. I need the Holy Spirit in my fellowship with you. One time in Hungary, I love using Hungary as an example because you don't think I'm talking about you. But I was in Hungary one time, and this person came up next to me, and there was a new brother in the church, and they said, you know, that brother, he's been married 3 times. And I look at the person, I'm thinking, why are you telling me that? I don't care how many times. He made it 1,000 times. I don't know that. I don't care. What's that got to do with him? I do not label him based on his personal that way. I mean, if somebody is a criminal or they're dangerous to the church or something, that's one thing. I understand in our administration we need to be aware of that. But this is a spiritual church. This is a church of the Spirit. And that is also spiritual too, but that's in another area of our administration. We like to know if people are hurting people and be protecting them. That's true. But on the other hand, what if this man, after his third marriage, in humility, bows his knee before his heavenly Father and says, oh God, you know my heart. I'm needy. I'm hungry for you. I trust you. Thank you, Jesus. And the man is saying in his heart, by God's Spirit, I am crucified. I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. Isn't that beautiful? By the way, that happens all the time with us. That's why judging people is so wrong. That's why knowing people after the flesh, I can be totally misled. That person, great is that person in the kingdom of God. Remember in Luke chapter 6, Jesus spoke about this. And he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, who is the greatest among women, born of women. What a great story. All right, now let's finish our message. Turn to Luke 7. And very simple story, but relates to what we've said so far. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loves our nation and he had built us a synagogue. By the way, maybe if you've been in Israel and you've been in Capernaum, you stood in that synagogue like some of us have done, and we stood in that synagogue, the ruins of which stand there today. And it's amazing to think that this centurion had donated the money for the building of that synagogue that is standing there today. The man had a servant at home. It's a very simple story. Let's draw a picture of a house. And his servant is laying in bed here. There he is in bed. How do you like that picture? Here's his boss. And he's laying in bed. They go out with his others. They go out to meet Jesus, who is over here on his way. They meet. That's all. Very simple. Verse 5, he loves our nation. Verse 6, then Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Don't come to my house. You don't need to come to my house because I realize your authority. I can't put my finger on this thing exactly, but I don't have to. Because if you say the word, it's going to happen. And I believe that's how we live today. I don't understand it, but if something happened in Lenox that is affecting my life today, but I can't put my finger on it, but I believe that something that happened in my life back in Maine and many other people back in Maine have something to do with what is happening in my heart and in my life today. But I'm trying to connect the dots. And I think I can. And that's what happened in this story. You might say, well, my life hasn't rolled that way. Yeah, it has. How do you know that? How do you know? Very hard to analyze it. Yeah, it has. You're born of the Spirit. You're in the kingdom of God. Yeah, God's ways are not man's ways. I don't understand it exactly. But here in the point, you got to realize Jesus did not go into that house. But he didn't have to. Just like tonight, he doesn't have to show up in some form here tonight, but he has shown up. He doesn't have to answer me one way. He has already answered me this way. I got it. I believe him. The kingdom of God has not yet come as it will come, and in one sense it doesn't have to, because it has come. This is what the centurion story is about. You don't have to come to my house. I don't have to see that. I don't have to connect those dots that way. I'm going to connect them another way. Because if you only say the word, my servant will get up out of bed. Doesn't even come. I don't even have to live. I don't have to live in the first century. I live in the, what century is this one? 21st, isn't it? The 21st century. I'm afraid to make a mistake. I don't have to live in the first. I live in the 21st. And that's good for me because I see there's all kinds of stuff that is going on above and around me that I cannot put my finger on exactly, but I know that it's connected to you. I know you're doing it. I know you're answering prayer. I know you are giving a blessing. I know you are present even in the dark hours. I know that even when death knocks at the door, you are there. I know that even when there's a trial like Job had, I cannot be easily moved. I am moved, but I'm not easily moved because I see something that transcends this natural life that we are living. Let's look at the story. He goes, verse 6, Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, a centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not yourself. Lord, you don't have to prove anything to me. I believe you. Just say the word. And I got this afternoon. I was thinking, when Jesus said the word, was it loud? And I want to suggest to you, it's not said, but I want to suggest to you that maybe even nobody heard him say the word. He just said in his heart, Father, heal him. I don't have to hear you say it. Just say it. Your Father hears you, and it's done. That's the way it rolls. That's like this. I am crucified with Christ. Do you believe it? Of course not. You don't know my makeup. You don't know what I've been through my life. You don't know my upbringing, my childhood. You don't know the stuff I got. You don't know all the baggage I got. I'm a narcissistic fool. I'm an empty man. I'm a bag of worms. I'm a man of no value. You don't even know who I am. It's like, I know all. We know. But I got to ask you the question. Come on. I am crucified with Christ or not? There you go. I am crucified with Christ, and for me to live is something the Spirit has to manifest Christ in my life. For I died with Christ. The Spirit has to speak to me and do his work. And I cannot see it. I cannot connect the dots. Like the centurion said, Jesus, you got to come into my house. You got to kneel down. I got to see you lay your hands on him. I got to see something happen. I got to connect the dots. I got to see that you do this. Come on. You got to show up. It's the same thing as a man who has a lousy background saying, I don't see Jesus doing anything for me. I don't see him correcting my problems. I don't see him helping me. I don't see him delivering me from alcohol or drugs or depression. I don't see anything. Come on, show me, God. And God is saying, you know, be patient. Trust me, because it's true. You are crucified with Christ. And for you to live is Christ. Do you hear me? And the centurion would say, yes, I believe you. You don't have to come into my house. You don't have to prove it to me. You don't have to show me anything. I believe you. It is what you say. It is the reality. And this is the reality of our fellowship in the body of Christ. This is why, listen, churches are destroyed by people that live in their flesh. Analyze their flesh, talk about their flesh, are caring about their flesh, and occupied with their flesh. They don't have revival. They don't have the Spirit manifesting. They don't have something exciting. They don't have Jesus in the presence. Come on, Jesus, we believe you. Show yourself to us and reveal to us who you are. And you don't have to worry about it. We'll connect the dots. We'll see your hand. We'll believe you based on your word. We'll embrace it by faith. We'll walk by faith in who you are and what you have said, because you are our prophet, our priest, and our king. And because it happened in heaven, it is happening on the earth because we are believing you. That's all. In Jesus' name, amen. You brave. Father, we want to be like this centurion. And Jesus' great compliment to him was, I have not seen this faith in all of Israel. But Lord, we would be pleased to know that you see it in us. You don't have to do this or that. We are believing you, God, and you say the word. And this life that you gave us will come somehow shine through, sparkle, be revealed. Be in our hearts when we go to bed at night. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just say one last thing. I'll never forget this experience I had when I was up in Maine and I came to the ministry, and I was living in a trailer in Damariscotta, Maine, along the seashore there, way out backwoods, rural, small town, in a trailer, not knowing where I was or what I was doing. But I'll tell you, I remember it very well. When I lay down, my heart was on fire. My heart was on fire. I wasn't from the area. I'm from New York. I was there up in Maine. But this preacher, Dr. Stevens, was preaching the finished work and not giving any room to the flesh. We were hippies, but he could care less. Our hair went down to our shoulder, down our back. And we were coming out of drugs and different things and attitudes and everything. But he didn't care. He was preaching the finished work. I never heard him talk about us after the flesh. He taught us that we were in Christ and we were a new creation. And man, did I need to hear that. And I heard it and I believed it. And that was amazing. And the heart of man, a man, you go to bed, you go to a church like this one, and you go home at night and you say, man, I am glad I went. I am just glad. That is good. I need that. Thank you, God. All right, now would you pray with me? One more prayer. If you're not a believer tonight, come as you are to Jesus. Please. You need him. You say, not me. Yeah, we say you. You say, no, you don't know who I am. Yeah, God knows who you are. And this is between you and God. And you come as you are. Come to him as you are. Say yes to Jesus personally. Yes to Jesus, please. And Father, we are hungry for souls to get saved in this place. We want people to come in here and be born of the Spirit. We want them to come from Virginia and Pennsylvania, New Jersey. We want them to hear there's a church down in Baltimore on fire for God. We want them to be built up in the faith. We want them right from our neighborhood. We want them from everywhere in the world to come to you and hear you and believe you. Bless Grace Hour with this fire. Bless our Bible studies, Lord, everywhere, not just here, but in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and then indeed around the world, with fire from your Spirit. Bless our people everywhere in this work, Jesus, deeply and personally. Bless our prayers in the morning where people in India and China, in Mexico, everywhere. Our prayers at night for our sisters and brothers to minister the Spirit of God and the Word. In Jesus' name, amen.